Hello again, you're listening to the news at one. Well, there is significant and ongoing disruption to hospital and health services across the country this lunchtime following that overnight cyber attack on health service executive computer systems. The HSE shut down its IT systems in the early hours of the morning in an effort to limit the attack and to assess the situation. Minister for Health Stephen Donnelly said the attack was having a severe impact on health services. A number of hospitals have cancelled some outpatient appointments and warned of delays to those that do go ahead. The HSE says it's working with the National Cyber Security Centre, the NCSC, to try to identify the affected systems with the view to bringing all systems back online. Minister of State for Cyber Security, Oisin Smith, has been briefed by the NCSC. We'll talk to him in a few minutes, but first we're joined by Anne O'Connor, who's Head of Operations with the HSE. A very good afternoon to you, Anne O'Connor, and thanks for taking our call this lunchtime.
Hello, Brian.
Perhaps first of all I can ask you, what's the latest information you have about the nature of this attack, where it originated, and the scale of the penetration of your IT systems as a result?
Well, Brian, we became aware at about 4 o'clock this morning that we had been impacted by a significant ransomware attack. Our initial assessment leads us to believe that this is a zero-day threat, in that this is a brand new variant of the Conti ransomware. Now, it is early hours, as you'd appreciate. We're still assessing all of this. However, we have virus protection across our systems that are updated on a daily basis, and that reinforces our view that this is a zero-day threat. We're engaging with many external and international partners on this through the National Cybersecurity Team, as your news bulletin referenced there, with the Garda Síochána, who I believe are also working with Interpol. So it is a very significant attack. They're all providing support and help to us on this. We're also working with a number of external cybersecurity companies who are providing support. Where we're at really at the minute is, first of all, we had to let people know what had happened. So we have a four-step approach here in terms of informing people that this has happened and containing the situation. So we have shut down all systems. At this point in time, we don't know where it came in. We don't know which systems have been impacted. And we've had to take the precautionary step of shutting down all systems until we know that. So as it stands at this moment, our services are without systems, particularly impacting our acute hospitals where we have some very big systems, and equally a lot of our corporate functions. So, for example, even all of our email is down and we can't communicate in that way with services, or payrolls, payments, the medical card eligibility assessments, all of that has gone. So we're at the early stage of just assessing what has been impacted.
I'm sorry, when you use the term a zero-day threat, what does that mean?
My understanding, and you'll appreciate, I'm not the tech person here, I'm the service person. So what it means, that my understanding is that this is a brand new variant. So the zero day, there is no warning. We don't know what it is. We don't know where it has come from. And that is what everybody is working with us on. It has come across all of our virus protection systems, and people are now working to determine what it is. So zero day, I understand, means that there is no previous known experience of this.
And at this stage, is it possible to say how long you expect the entire system to remain closed down, or what might need to happen to begin to reopen it again?
We don't know the answer to that yet. So where we are at today is working with our services. So we have two very significant strands to this. You'll appreciate there's the big IT piece, which is looking at the actual threat. The risk for us is that if we open up one system, it could come in there. So we have to be very sure before we turn any of our systems back on that this virus cannot get in. And it will take some time. You know, we're a very big, complex organisation, as you'd appreciate. So it will take some time. At the minute, we're looking at the immediate impact today, and I'm sure the public really are most concerned about what it means for them in terms of their services. So today it's really about assessing from a service perspective what the impact is. But this could go on for a number of days, Brian. We just don't know yet. It is unlikely to be resolved in the very near future, or even today or tomorrow.
And at this stage, do you know if any personal health data has been compromised?
We're not aware that it has. At the minute, we don't believe, we don't know that, but we're not aware that it has yet. And that is, I suppose, because we have shut everything down.
And has there been any ransom demanded?
I'm not aware. So again, this has been treated very cautiously in terms of how we even respond to the attack. So I believe that through government and the National Cybersecurity Team, they are looking at all of that.
All right. So perhaps we could turn to the impact of this on health and hospital services and the public and the people who depend on those services. If we look first of all at the hospitals, what's been the effect on hospitals around the country this morning?
So we have a significant impact in many areas. However, it is important to say that many of our services are continuing to operate today. So in actual fact, the planning for today was done before today. So for example, appointments were made, charts for many outpatient clinics were pulled yesterday, and people are being seen. So we are not cancelling all appointments today. In fact, more services are working than not today. And people are turning up, they are being seen. They are possibly going to experience delays because we are reverting to workarounds, manual workarounds involving paper in many cases. And so their experience may be a slower one. But we haven't cancelled everything today. Our big concern in the hospital systems, Brian, relate to our diagnostics in particular. So our radiology system has gone down. And that means that for more complex tests, for anybody waiting for a CT scan, people waiting for different types of higher tests, so not just plain x-ray, more complicated things than that, they have been in the main cancelled, and that will impact on people. So we are seeing an impact, for example, in some of our stroke care, people with early diagnosis of stroke, and we are seeing an impact also in relation to our radiation oncology services. So for example, St. Luke's Hospital have cancelled all of their radiation oncology today, and we've put in emergency measure in place to support urgent cases there. So we are seeing a particular impact in radiation oncology.
And is that because the technology that runs that equipment has had to be shut down?
Yes. And really the higher tech, so if you look at radiation oncology, if you look at some of the higher end diagnostics, we have a new maternity system in some of our hospitals. They are the systems that are the most impacted in our acute hospitals today. And we are cancelling appointments only where necessary, where absolutely necessary. And it's important to say, Brian, that we will contact people in relation to cancellations. So if your appointment is not going ahead, we will call you.
Yeah, but you make the point that many appointments have gone ahead today because the preparation was done before this attack.
Yes.
But will the situation then deteriorate? Would you expect that increasing numbers of appointments will have to be cancelled in the days ahead as long as the systems remain largely shut down?
If this continues to Monday, we will be in a very serious situation and we will be cancelling many services. At this moment, we can't access lists of people who are scheduled for appointments on Monday, so we don't even know who to cancel. And that is a very real concern for us today. We are hopeful, obviously we are working and everybody is doing everything they can to address this issue. But we do expect that if this continues over the weekend, I suppose one, if you want to call it a positive, we are heading into a weekend, so there aren't clinics, as many clinics cancelled or scheduled between Saturday and Sunday. So really, it will be emergency services over the weekend. And that, you know, unscheduled care dominates at the weekends anyway. But when it comes to Monday, if this continues, we will be in a very serious situation and we will be cancelling many services.
What about the testing for COVID and the vaccination programme? Have they been affected?
They have, but not to the same extent. So with testing, people who have their appointments, those tests are going ahead. So anybody who has an appointment for a test, they can turn up for that test. The issue in relation to both testing and vaccination relates to the scheduling of appointments, and in testing also relates to the delivery of results. If you are awaiting a test result, this will be delayed. We are now going to prioritise our focus on results to people who are with a detective result or a positive result. So people again may experience a delay, and it's very important, Brian, that people understand that they will need to continue to take precautions possibly for longer while they are awaiting these results. But we will be issuing results with a focus on the positive results. In relation to contact tracing, we have moved all of this to two centres that are operational. Important to say that we do have telephony problems across the country. So for example, in the Midwest, in the UL hospital group, their whole telephony system has gone down. So we are focusing our efforts in contact tracing out of two centres. And when it comes to actually people presenting, if they're concerned they are positive, they need to contact their GP. The problem we have there is that the GPs cannot refer people in the usual way for tests, so that system has gone. So they will be advising people who need to attend for walk-in appointments, but that will be on a GP verbal referral, if you like, so people focusing on symptomatic people to attend for tests. In terms of vaccinations, those services as well are going ahead. The difficulty there will be that there'll be no new registration. So again, anything that accesses the central IT system. However, if you have an appointment for a vaccination, that will go ahead, so please turn up for it. I think important to say as well, in terms of some of our our medical card services. We are putting contingency arrangements in place in terms of medical card and nursing home Fair Deal services, and any virtual appointments. So if you have a virtual appointment for today, if that is a phone appointment, it is likely to go ahead. If it is a virtual Teams or Zoom appointment, it won't go ahead. But the biggest impact is in our hospital services.
But in relation to vaccination, registration really has been halted.
Yes, so the scheduling of appointments for anything, including vaccination or testing or any other services, is impacted.
Right, so, I mean, clearly if that was to continue for any length of time, it would most definitely, presumably, slow down the vaccination rollout.
Well, I think it's important to note as well, though, that there is a time delay. So from the time people vaccinate to the issuing of appointments, there will be at least a week. So that's not an immediate concern for us. Once the registration reopens, that should still be managed through. We wouldn't be unduly concerned about that. I think our biggest concern today relates to our acute hospital services. And really, that's what our key focus is. So the appointments are continuing for testing. They're continuing for vaccination. We will catch up on the registration piece, other than the delay with the results, and really our focus is on ensuring that we are able to continue to provide care to those who most need it in our hospital services.
Yeah, just one or two other matters. TUSLA, the Child and Family Agency, it's a separate agency, of course, to the HSE, but it's caught up in this because you operate shared IT systems, is that right?
I imagine so. I'm not sure. I haven't been too focused on TUSLA, to be honest, this morning. But I think wherever there is a health IRL system, it is impacted, so quite possibly, yes.
All right. Anne O'Connor from the HSE, Head of Operations, thank you for talking to us here on the News at One.